What's up, everybody? Orlando here from the On Cue podcast, and today's episode is unique to say the least. I had the opportunity to sit down with four missionaries, all female, from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we just had a good open discussion about their beliefs and just ideas in general, for the most part specific to their beliefs. I am not a big religious person. I am not a follower of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I think it's important that we all learn about everybody. And I met two of the ladies and asked them if they wanted to do the podcast, and they said sure, so why not? It was not a debate. I made sure not to sabotage them, as I did not ask them or invite them into a debate. I tried to be open and just ask questions that I think many of you would have and would enjoy. And I tried to keep my personal thoughts and opinions out of this episode. I do believe there will be an episode in the future, likely with Nicole and I, where we will talk about our own views and ideas. Because they differ, even Nicole and I. Nicole is much more a person of faith and belief, I should say, than I am. But that's not what this episode was about. These ladies were generous to take time to speak with me, and I thought it would just be good. This is the goal of the show, to help as many people as we can, even if those people don't live the same lifestyle that we live or believe in the things that we believe. To me, it's something that I'm here for, is to help as many people as I can, even if it's ladies of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Listen, they're not as different as many of you may think than you and I. They just have a strong faith and belief, and there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I think it went really well, and please let us know what you think, and we hope to have many more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation with four missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. All right, ladies, and we are live recording. I don't know if that's not live. I always say that. But hello, everyone. I'm here with the ladies of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I'm really excited about this conversation. We'll dive right on into it, but first, we should go around and introduce ourselves. So it's just me today, Orlando. Nicole is at home with the baby, and I'm here with these wonderful ladies who have opened up their church for a good conversation about their beliefs. Anyway, would you like to begin?
Sure. I'm Sister Anglesey.
Sister McMahon.
Sister Walker.
Sister Smallcomb.
Fantastic. Again, thank you all so much for being here. We just took a few minutes to talk, got to know each other, why I'm doing this or why we're doing this. But more importantly, I think people are going to be interested to know why you are doing this. And so that's what caught my attention was, I can't remember, we're on radio, so if I say you two, I'm pointing to you two. But Sister Anglesey and McMahon. I saw you all, and I kind of just assumed you were some type of missionary or church affiliate, just because of I saw you together all the time, kind of coming and going, and I asked what you all did, if you were coming from work, and that's when you told me you were missionaries. And then a day or two later, I was like, hey, I've got this podcast, what better way to reach people? And before I could even, I asked you if you were interested, and you said yes, before you knew anything about what I was doing. So I really think that that was cool, because I could be totally against everything you believe in, and you were already like, yes, I'm down to do it. So thank you very much. So do you want to, let's talk first, all four of you are missionaries.
Yes.
And please, at any point, correct me if I'm wrong. I've done a little bit of research. A lot of this is just from things I've learned over time. Mm-hmm. But if I'm wrong, and I'm not here to portray your beliefs or anything, so okay, please make sure I'm correct on facts. I unfortunately left my laptop, so I can't Google anything. But can someone please just first introduce to the listeners, in summation, your beliefs, or I don't know what you call it, but what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is all about.
Yeah, so we are Christians. Jesus Christ is in the name of our church. And we believe that God is our loving Heavenly Father, and that because He loves us, He gave us Jesus Christ to live and die for us so that we can be forgiven of our sins and live with Him again someday. That's like the foundation of everything we believe in. It all goes back to Jesus Christ.
Cool. So, and in no particular order, I think that's important to know. I think a lot of people also, so LDS, and there's the fundamentalist mm-hmm. Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
That's different,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just there's a different belief system. Is that what it is?
Yeah. So the church was organized in like the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And so as it went along, there were people who broke away. And that's what the fundamentalists and the RLDS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few others. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Mormon. So Mormonism. So you all read the Book of Mormon, right?
Yes.
As well as the Bible.
Yes.
But you're not Mormons specifically, correct?
Correct. Mormon's just a nickname our church was given.
Okay.
Because we believe in the Book of Mormon with the Bible.
Okay, mm-hmm. So just a nickname.
Yeah, but we prefer to go by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, mm-hmm. I have a silly question. Explain the Latter-day Saints part. Is that just, is that because, I mean, the word, I know that compared to a lot of religions, if you will, or denominations of Christianity, and it's not because I'm trying to preach to you, obviously, but from my research, I think 1823 is the year that stands out. But that is... Mm-hmm. Of latter days. That's pretty recent when it comes to religion and a lot of things. Is that where Latter Day comes from? Latter Day Saints? Do you know?
So what we believe, that our church is the same church that existed when Christ was on the earth, and we believe that it has been restored. And so Christ lived a long time ago, and obviously history, you know, time has passed, and we believe that these are the last days, that these are the days that are towards the end when Christ will come again. So that's why we go by Latter-day Saints.
Okay. Different than the way I was thinking of it. So it's more that we're living in the latter days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, and for the listeners, I think it's only right that we set a foundation for the conversation, let them... So we're all kind of on the same page of plays here. I do have some questions that I want to ask them about being missionaries and about temptation and just about baptism and other things that I think would be interesting for everyone. But I also want to make sure that we are all talking about the same thing, that I'm not talking about some other religion or at least the foundation. And for people to listen. And whether I agree with you all's belief or not, the reason why you're here is because I was like, hey, what better way for you all to do your job? And I think for listeners, not viewers yet, but for listeners, you know, I think that's important for Nicole and I on our podcast is the reason why we're doing this is to help the community and help people. And that's not just about spreading our own beliefs or theories or philosophies on life. It's about helping everyone in general.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I have no desire to come to your church or to follow your belief system, I still may possibly be able to help you, and I'm okay with that. So anyway, I think that's important for people to listen. I think this show is going to do well because hopefully you all will spread it with people that you want to listen to, and it might help you in your missionary or mission work, as you say. But also, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to see that we're doing the show, and they're going to think, oh my goodness, let's check this out. Well, so far, you all... seem normal to me. There's nothing crazy, right? I don't feel like I'm going to get abducted and there's going to be a Dateline show or anything. So I feel very comfortable. So the fact that you're all missionaries, how does this work? I mean, is this a choice that you all make? Or are you, I guess before we even get there, I told you all earlier, I'm a recovering Catholic. So, and there's about 8 or 10 people that are listening to this that could go and tell my grandmother that I'm a recovering Catholic. And if you do and I find you, we're going to have problems. Because my grandmother, when I'm around her, I'm Catholic. And I let her, she puts her hand on my head and prays for me. Because whatever I could do to make her feel good, I'm fine with. And I'm not going to go down the rabbit holes of my views on Catholicism. But I say I'm a recovering Catholic because I didn't have a choice. When I was being raised Catholic. For one, we know, you know, that our frontal lobe is not done developing until about the age of 25. My assumption is the four of you are all under that age. I don't know exactly, but my guess is you're well under that age. But that's kind of the case with all religions, right? Like, mm-hmm. we don't give a kid and say, hey, you're five, what do you want to believe in, right? Yeah. So how does that work as far as you becoming missionaries, I guess?
Okay.
Not everyone at once, please.
So when you can go on a mission when for girls when you turn 19. And it's just like, it's purely up to you. You're not really pressured. Maybe some families do pressure, but I know that the church doesn't pressure it in general. And it's really something that's between you and God. And it's between you and praying and what Heavenly Father or God wants you to do with your life and if you want to follow His will or your own.
So, and I think you all told me it's 18 months long. So when you're 19 is when you can go on this mm-hmm. trip. Mm-hmm. When you say go on a trip, are you, so you're going to a foreign place or you're not from here in Texas or mm-hmm. we're recording this here in Texas. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you decide you want to serve a mission, you fill out like the paperwork for it mm-hmm. and you send it in to the church headquarters and then they assign you to where you will serve your mission and it could be anywhere in the world. So it could be a foreign country. Wow. It could be in your initial country. Cool. So in our church, it's kind of a big deal, opening your mission call. You'll have a little get together so you can all find out where you're going to go.
Okay,
and
cool.
then that's where you go and serve.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm. So is it only one place for 18 months?
Yeah.
And can usually. It be longer than 18 months?
So boys actually serve for 2 years. Okay. They can go when they're 18 years old and they serve for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it can be based off of your needs as well. Obviously, if you choose or can't serve for that long, that's totally fine too. You can just serve what you're capable of serving, and but you're called to serve for 18 months, and then boys are called to serve for 2 years.
Okay, cool. Now, did you all know each other before you got here?
No.
None of
you?
No.
Okay, where
no.
are you from?
So I'm from Utah.
Okay.
Arizona.
Arizona.
Idaho.
Idaho.
I'm from Utah.
Utah as well. Okay, cool. And that's where your church headquarters is, Utah, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brigham Young University, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you go, so at 19 you can go. What if you don't go at 19? Can you go on your mission at 22, 23? Or is it pretty much people who go at 19?
Now you can serve for, I think it's a period of 5 or 7 years after you're 19. I'm not exactly sure, but you can serve anywhere between that, like, I had a sister who served a mission and she didn't leave till later. Okay. Like till she was like 20, I think. So, yeah.
So let me ask you about, so you two, I shouldn't just put all y'all's business out there, but I think it's universally understood for people that think about it. You live in pairs, mm-hmm. right? And you kind of do your mission in a pair.
Yes.
For so you both showed up. It's like, did you get to talk to each other before this goes on? You find out, or you just show up and it's potluck.
Yeah.
We show up. Wow. We get paired together.
So you show up like at your place of living or at the church, or how does that work? That's interesting. I wasn't planning on asking, but that's interesting.
So every 6 weeks they have what's called transfers. So potentially you could get a new partner companion every 6 weeks.
Okay.
Generally you're together for a couple months at a time, but so you get the phone call about 2 days before to find out if you're being transferred to a new area within your mission boundaries. Oh. And then you all go to the church building and you meet your new companion and you grab their luggage and then off you go, and you're together 24/7 until they decide that you're being transferred again.
Okay, so you're not together for the entire 18 months.
No.
Oh, wow. Man, that is so interesting. Gosh. This is going to be hard for me to keep at the hour mark, but maybe we'll do it again. Maybe, well, I guess if you're transferred out, maybe you won't, but somebody else, hopefully. So I have a question about that. You mentioned the boundaries, and whenever we were communicating to prepare for this podcast, you mentioned that you're assigned a territory, if you will, or boundaries.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me how that works?
Yeah, so because there's like different missionaries, like we cover a certain area, like we're in Burleson and they're in Mansfield. Mm-hmm. And so it's just so we can focus on a certain area. Okay. And because there's different missionaries, the work is just where you are.
Okay, so you can travel outside of that area or you're not encouraged to? How does that work?
You're encouraged to stay within your area. I think part of that is, so one thing we do is we'll like knock doors to try and find people who are interested in learning.
Okay.
If two companionships were in the same area, the same street could be getting hit all the time.
Okay.
So they just encourage you to stay within your area so that...
Now this might go down that I want to talk about something here in a little while, but and I guess it doesn't matter when, but so can you leave for pleasure, or is there not too much pleasure when you're on your mission, like shopping or going to the movies or going to the zoo or anything? Are you pretty much, I don't know, do you call it work? Are you working every day or?
So when we go on a mission, we call it serving a mission.
Serving, okay.
Because
serving.
The whole idea is that you're here to serve God.
Okay.
You're a servant of the Lord. You're here to do Christ's work on earth, right? Okay. To do your best to be a representative of Christ and do what Christ would do if he were here.
Okay.
So we don't do things like go to the movies because we know that there are things that are more important, that Christ would be focused on others and what they need versus on what we would want to be doing.
Right.
Or, you know, and so just for this short time, for 18 months, we give that up for a while, and we do have one day a week on Mondays is our P day or preparation day.
Okay.
Where we can maybe like kind of relax a little bit and then also just like get some cleaning done and do some other things that's a little bit more for us.
Okay, I understand that now. So pretty much the entire time you're serving.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so that leads me to the next question that I've been thinking about this for the last week. And lots of times I let people know, you know, who I'm going to interview. And this one I've pretty much kept to myself, maybe a few close friends. But so I guess that goes in line with, I guess that kind of answers my question. But when it comes to temptation and how tough it must be for anyone, male or female. Mm-hmm. But when you're, so 18 months is a long time. For me, 18 days, you know, like I fight temptation they say as a man every 7 seconds, but I fight temptation all the time. Mm-hmm. How do you all deal with that? I mean, is that kind of the whole team thing? The whole, mm-hmm. there's two of you together all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Because I can only imagine when I met you two, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say I wasn't, you know, the upstanding citizen that I am, I'm joking, but, you know, had I approached you and said, listen, I understand you're here on a mission, no one else is going to know about this, I've got a case of beer, whatever it is,
yeah.
a drug of your choice or whatever, and let's go into your place and spend a couple hours, no one's ever going to know. I know the quick answer is, because that's not what God, like you said, that's not what God would do and these type of things, but I have to imagine as a human, the temptation is still there.
Yeah.
And how do you all deal with that? Or is that the buddy system kind of takes care of it?
I think, go for it.
I think it's both, honestly. When we choose to serve a mission, we make a promise with God to follow what he would want us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have certain guidelines and rules that we live so that we can avoid temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's still there, but since we have a companion who's always with us and we have certain rules that we live by, we are able to avoid those. Not saying that we don't ever have temptation, because that's a natural thing of life, but we just try our best to avoid it and do what Christ would do.
Now, if somebody succumbs to temptation of any sort, without getting into specifics,
mm-hmm.
how is that handled or dealt with? Is your mission over? Are you sent to the depths of hell? How is that handled? Because I have to imagine, not you four, I'm sure, not you four, but I have to imagine that this happens. I think there's, you know, I didn't even take the best notes, but I think there's something like 80,000 missionaries around the world in 100 and something countries,
mm-hmm.
ish,
yeah.
for you, for LDS.
Mm-hmm.
Is LDS appropriate? Is that an appropriate acronym, or do y'all not?
No. You can just call us members of this church.
Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Okay, I don't want to be derogatory.
No,
or
no,
anything.
Sorry,
okay.
It's confusing.
Okay,
no.
So So how is that dealt with when someone does take a swig of booze or kisses someone, or I don't know, whatever the temptation is, maybe shoots off to see the latest movie when they were, you know, not uh-huh. supposed to be. Do these things happen? Or?
Yeah, they do, because people are imperfect, and I mean, people make mistakes, but our church is very big on repentance and the ability to move forward from your past. So everything is handled by a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. There are missionaries who do end up being sent home because they just need to work on some things, but it's never intended to be derogatory. It's for, that's the most beneficial thing that they need right now.
Okay. So talking about, those were my big questions just on the missionary trip mm-hmm. part, or the mission, mm-hmm. is that right? The mission, your mission
yeah,
trip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In no specific order, maybe diving a little deeper into your, into the church's beliefs. Mm-hmm. Earlier, so you talked about, I read about, so baptism, the idea of baptism, right? Mm-hmm. And you all getting baptized is a necessity at some point in your religion. Is that correct? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is, and this isn't specific to you all's church, it's to a lot of denominations. Let's say I followed everything else correctly in life, and I dealt with, I don't know how to properly say this. I did everything else I was supposed to do mm-hmm. in whatever beliefs, but in your beliefs specifically, but I never got baptized. I think I did read what you all sent me, the website that we'll share definitely in the bio of this, and that we'll share at the end, but you all don't refer to it typically as hell. You refer to it as, and I keep forgetting, it's prison, the prison of soul. Is that right? Or prison?
Like spirit prison.
Yeah, spirit prison. Spirit yeah. prison, yes. Okay, so is that the idea that, so if I don't ever get baptized, but I follow your beliefs every other way possible, that I still end up there in this prison or in hell? Or how does this work?
Yeah. So... Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain without full context, mm. but the point is there are certain things that God expects of us.
Okay.
We're supposed to follow his example and be the kind of person that he would want us to be. And in his lifetime, Jesus Christ was baptized. Mm. And so he expects us to follow that example. And so he wants us to be baptized, one, to show our commitment to him, and two, because it'll bless our lives and it'll make us happier because we'll know that we're following him. And people that choose not to, we believe that God is a loving Heavenly Father, and that when we die, after we die, you know, say there's someone who didn't have the opportunity to learn about the gospel or hear about baptism, that they'll have an opportunity to accept it.
Okay, so that was a big question that I had, because it's hard for me, and I don't want to get into expressing too much of my thoughts and beliefs, mm-hmm. because, again, I told you I didn't want this to be a debate, because I have nothing to debate, because I don't know what in the world... I believe, and actually, you, whether I ever jump on board with this, you know, with your beliefs, the fact that I just said what in the world I believe is impressive, because I have a cursing problem, and so I've been very anxious about this, like, oh, I'm going to be in their church building, so, and I want to be respectful to you all.
We appreciate but, that.
Yes, yes. Okay, because what I was trying to grasp is how could anyone believe that? So that helps make it clear that, you know, I just couldn't imagine someone telling me that I was going to go to hell because I never got baptized. If otherwise I lived a perfect life, if you will. So I appreciate that. That makes it a little more clear for me. Speaking of expectations, I think you all refer to them as kind of the words of wisdom. And this is very loose, general. It's just for my quick research. But... like the desecration of the body. I have a tattoo. We're piercing the body. I think some people even refer to the desecration of the body as like eating unhealthy or these type of things. But females are allowed to have their ear pierced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that just an exception that, like, how, what's the difference? Let's say the difference between the ear and the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just something the church at some point said, okay, we're all right with the ears, or how does that work?
I think it all just comes down to trying to, like, present yourself in a respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I always think of, because I would use this when I was trying to, like, get school dress code in my mind is if you work at a business office, you're expected to maintain a level of professionalism. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's just that same concept in representing yourself in a way that you feel is something that you'd be comfortable in the presence of God with. Mm-hmm. And whether that's different for different people, you know, we don't judge anyone.
Right.
We're not supposed to judge anyone.
Right. So that's a good question because, for instance, I don't know how to ask these questions. It's funny because I typically I'm thinking about what other people listening to this will be thinking, and knowing me, I have a very abrasive personality, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to push back too hard. I don't want to, because I'm not trying to push back or be disrespectful, but I'm trying to think like, okay, I've got tattoos. I've got other tattoos besides the one that are visible. Mm-hmm. Could I still participate in your religion or faith?
Everyone's welcome.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to that, we believe that like our bodies are a gift. Mm-hmm. And so we want to respect them, but like when it comes down to it, a gift is still yours.
Okay. That's what I was going to say, because like in my mind, I can still respect my body, but have tattoos, but so that would be acceptable. I mean, and the reason why I'm asking, some of these are probably very generic questions, mm-hmm. but they're also, whether they're reality or stereotypes, I can promise you they're at least stereotypes.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of them out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to friends and they were like, listen, if you don't come back, you know, we know where you're going. And these, I was expecting there to be, you know, like some type of escort when I got here and other, you know, some guy standing over my shoulder, you know, so there are stereotypes just about religious folks in general, specifically people that make a dedication such as the one that you all have made, you know, that naturally, I remember whenever last week or something after you agreed to do the podcast, and then I was like, well, okay, so what church are you with? Because at that point I didn't even know, right? All I knew was there were two young ladies. There were two young ladies that were at least disciplined enough to make some type of sacrifice to be missionaries. And I was good with that. At that point, I didn't care what you said. I wanted to talk to you.
Yeah.
And where was I going with this?
Can I say something about...
Please.
So someone who I think, just maybe for you or for anyone listening, that would be cool to look up is, her name is Al Caraway. She's a member of our church, and she has tons of tattoos all over her whole body, and she got all of them before she joined the church. Mm. But she talks a lot about what it was like coming into the church with all of those tattoos, and that there were people who discriminated against her, but how the church does not teach that, and how she's been able to build her relationship with God. So that's someone who might be cool to look up. I really like her.
Also, doesn't she have a book?
Yeah,
I believe it's called The Tattooed Mormon.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, okay, or More Than the Tattooed Mormon. It's something like that.
So if you Google that much, you'll be able to find it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay. Then that's what I was getting at, is the stereotypes of what you all do. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's clearly a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to imagine dealing with that. You know, that's where most of the questions are. It's the curiosity, you know, like, for instance, like, do you all... now, I think I'm answering some of these questions are already being answered from what you said earlier, but like, you were here to serve God. So I'd be curious, I guess, not when you're on your mission, but in general, like, do people in your church hang out in the community with people of other beliefs, or do you all kind of stick to yourselves as a community?
No, we love everyone.
Okay,
we love
all
people. There's nothing against any other person.
Yeah.
So we love everyone and love getting to know them.
So I have a question about talking about earlier. We did reference, I think we did, if not prior to us recording, we talked about the Book of Mormon, which you all believe in and read, as well as the Bible. Now, most people are familiar with the Bible and all, you know, whatever 3,000 versions there are, or whatever. But the Book of Mormon is different. Can you all talk about that? And maybe my question is the difference, or what this Book of Mormon was. Please correct me, but from my understanding, I believe it was Joseph Smith. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. He translated it.
He translated it, right? And from my understanding, the stories when he was around the age of 14, unless I'm getting him confused with someone else, he was having some interpersonal intrapersonal religious issues with himself, and went out, maybe this is vague, but went out into the woods to do some self-discovery and stumbled upon these writings and came back and translated it. This became the Book of Mormon. Is that correct?
Close.
The Book of Mormon was there, I guess. He translated it, I guess, right? The Book of Mormon was already there.
It's just the time frame is different.
Okay.
When he was 14, yes, he was having those concerns, and he just wanted to know what was right. He wanted to make the right decisions in his life, and so he prayed to God to know what to do. And
that's what he did when he went to the woods.
Oh, yes.
It was the place where he could just pray to God.
Mm-hmm. That's why it wasn't like anything about the woods. It just was like, okay, my family's not there. I can be quiet here.
So I'm oddly not intimidated in a negative way, because I know as soon as I say that, there's going to be some listeners that are like, you of all people. But I want to bring up some questions without being disrespectful by any means, but I get the feeling like if I ask the wrong thing, you're just all going to tell me like,
leave.
You'll just leave, right? Leave me in your church.
Yes.
Okay, so how do you, and I don't want to say argue, but like, because that's not what the goal is, but there's a lot of people that say maybe his, when you think back, I know for me, I'm probably twice y'all's age or close to it, but when I think back about when I was 14, I misremember some, mm-hmm. right? I also, at the age of 14, was experiencing drug use of some sort, alcohol use of some sort. So when I was 14, I could see myself going off into the woods, which I may or may not have, and maybe experience some type of mushrooms, right? Which I'm just, this is, but you know, my guess is you all have not experienced this, but it's quite the trip, if you will. Like it makes you, so then you come down off of this high and you tell yourself, but you really believe it, right?
Uh-huh.
And I just said mushrooms, it could be anything, but you really believe that you had this experience. Is that, now there's a lot of things in other religions that it's just faith. You all believe that that's what happened because that's what, you know, the old saying is the Bible tells me so or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But is it, I know Joseph Smith was a self-proclaimed prophet, is that right? Is that, no?
No, he was called of God to be a prophet.
Okay, okay.
He did not say that he was a prophet because he made himself a prophet. He was given the authority from God to organize his church on the earth.
Okay, and so that's where I was going, and I appreciate that, picking me up there. Because it's, who says so is what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Okay, like Joseph Smith is a prophet, and he was called by God. At some point, that belief, and this is a very vague question, you might not have the answer to this, because there's a lot of questions that could be this way about a lot of Christianity or other religions. At some point, it had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why so, is what I'm saying. Like, why Joseph Smith? Or how do we know, how do you know, I guess I should say, that that's the case? Is it kind of like a lot of things? It's just your faith? Or
for me, I have two sides of it. I have, like, the logical side and then also the faith side, and they go hand in hand. Because logically, what we believe happened is after Jesus Christ died and you know, the apostles were killed, that the authority to act in Christ's name was no longer on the earth. And that's why we have had so many different churches be built, because we didn't have a living prophet to lead and guide the church. Okay. And so, you know, the Bible says in Amos that God reveals his truth through his prophets. And throughout the Bible, he would always call a new prophet after the church left the earth. So for me, it makes sense that Christ would call another prophet to lead and guide his church. And then on the other side, I've prayed and asked God if this is true, because you can listen to us as much as you want or anyone else, but what really matters is what God says. And so I've done that, and I've received the answer in my heart that this is true, and this is his original church back on the earth.
Awesome. Thank you so much, because of that. See, this is, I told you earlier, I could sit here with y'all. The only thing I'm lacking is a couple beers, and I'd be able to sit here with y'all, you know, and go down this rabbit hole for 3 hours. But that brings up one of my next questions here is, and I appreciate the fact that you can, you explain the way you think about it logically, and then the way your faith-based thought, if you will. I read something on your website, and it says, you know, it's kind of the quick synopsis, I think, where it's like the four things to know about I think the Book of Mormon, you know, and like the fourth one is it's free. And but one of the things there is like, I can't remember now. I just looked at it again this morning. But the point is there's something in there that says God will let you know that this is true, right? Mm-hmm. You're all shaking your head. So good. I'm on the right path here.
Yes.
Okay, my question is this. What if I ask God, like you said, you pray to God and you ask him, you know, how this goes, if this is true, and he has told you, yes. Mm-hmm. What if I ask God and he says no? Like, I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to be disrespectful the way I talk very nonchalantly when I refer to God. So I don't mean any disrespect to you all. Please understand that. Because that's the way I speak to my own father. And, hey, man. So if I were to ever talk to God, that's probably the way it would be for me. It would be very casual conversation. Yeah. But that's my own issues. If I were like, God, is this true? Whatever it is, right? Is this belief system of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints true? And he's like, no. Mm-hmm. That's just... Your church says that, like, ask God and he will tell you yes. But I also have to imagine that there's a possibility he says no. And how do you handle that?
Well, I think the point is to ask God, right? In general, like, we know what he said to us.
Okay.
And when you ask God, like, the only way you can know, like, whether he says no or yes, you can only know which way it is if you ask him, and he's the one to tell you it. Mm. So at that point, not knowing what he's going to say, we just want you to ask. We want you to ask him yourself and not take our word for it. So that's really all it is.
And this is interesting because this is a part of, this could go on with any, it's interesting that I probably don't understand that, right? Like you four probably all clearly understand that in your mind. You've asked God and he's told you yes. And in my mind, I can't comprehend that just because I haven't practiced it, if you will, or I haven't studied it, or I haven't learned it. Or someone might also say that, like, you know, there's different theories of philosophy, or you were raised this way. So, like, you're going to hear what you want to hear, right? And maybe that's not necessarily the case with you all, but there's a lot of things in life that, you know, I'm going to pray to God because... And then he's going to tell me what I want to hear because that's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
And I guess I just can't understand that because, again, I don't practice it.
Well, I think with your original question is how could you know? Or, like, if he did say no, then, you know, if I were to pray to God and if he were to say, no, this is not the church, then I would say, okay, that's my answer. I need to look into it more. I need to search for the truth. Mm. But the point is, when you pray, you have to pray with real intent, a desire to act on what you hear. And so when you pray, then you're already willing to do what God is going to tell you, whatever answer you receive, you know, with whatever answer you receive. And so, you know, we pray about that with that in mind, and we've been able to pray about it. And I have felt yes from, we believe in the Holy Ghost, that it can testify to us of truth. And I've always felt the Holy Ghost as I've prayed.
You know, I appreciate you all taking the time because this, as I sit here and I listen to you talking and people who know me well, and my guess is there will be another podcast at some point where I will talk more. Nicole and I, she's a person of faith much more than I say person of faith, but religious faith, if you, much more than I, but it's interesting because regardless of my thoughts and sometimes they're a bit extreme compared to maybe folks like you, but I still admire the fact that, like, listening to you say that, and I'm like, you really believe that, and you know, you're dedicated, like, I do admire that, you know what I mean, like, the fact that I can sit here, and while you're telling me that, I'm thinking certain thoughts in my head, and I'm like, I just can't wrap my head around it, you know, but I can still respect the fact that you can, and I think that's really cool that, you know, I think that there's even some questions I may have already asked you that some other people, or maybe the stereotype that people had of you before this, where I was like, oh, I'm never going to make it through this interview, right? They're going to shut me down and hit the streets, you know? So I do admire the fact that you all have that dedication and desire, even if it's desire, you know, like my brain, the way my brain works is very science based, if you will. Mm-hmm. If I had to pick one or the other, which I don't like that, but there's a lot of things you talked about, the Holy Spirit, and you know, there's a lot of things that in my mind, it's too much woo woo. You know, it's too much. I'm like that. Okay, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Do you all believe?
Right?
Yeah. Okay. And like in my mind, that's hard for me to grasp, right?
Yeah.
I was raised to believe that. If my grandmother heard me say this, I'm never getting another $50 check for Christmas. You know what I mean? And she would take it personal. You know, all eight of you, don't tell grandma about these thoughts and beliefs, right? Like, according to her, I'm still the altar boy. But to me, that like the biology of it, that is a miracle, right? It's a miracle. And I understand that. I think it's because of my education and going to several different private schools, non-denominational, I've got enough education to understand what it means to other people and what it's supposed to mean. But for me to understand that some things like is a miracle, my brain don't work that way. Like, okay, it hasn't happened ever again. And a woman cannot be pregnant. Like I just, you know what I mean? And so, but the fact that people can have enough faith and discipline, like that's admirable to me, even though I, at this time in my life, I can't have that much faith in something, you know?
Yeah. For myself, I was actually I've talked to a couple of my close friends and my mom even about this, that, and this isn't against any other church, and like I fully support anyone coming close to God, however they, you know, feel in their heart is right. But for myself, I don't think I would be religious if I wasn't a part of this church, because I'm very much the logical, that doesn't make sense, why does it say this here and not here? And so that's one of the things that I really appreciate about this, and why, you know, we say that we believe this is, you know, the true church back on the earth. And everything that I've ever, you know, studied and researched, because there comes a point even when you grew up in it that you have to find out for yourself if it's legit or not, that everything falls in line for me and everything makes sense, and I can see this and this and put them together and they go hand in hand. And for me, that's how God works. God's not confusing, and he's not gonna be like, oh well, logic doesn't go along with it, you just need to believe. He's perfect, so it's going to be perfect. And even if we don't perfectly understand everything, you know, he's not going to contradict himself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, and I appreciate that. You know, Nicole talks about these things. She just put a podcast out. She does a lot of these quick ones. She does a lot of personal development and health, or health and wellness coaching, predominantly with other women. And she put out one yesterday, and she refers to God whispers and God thumps. And, you know, she's had things in her life that she wasn't listening to the whispers, and so God basically thumped and was like, hey, you know, flip the table over and look, pay attention, if you will. But I appreciate that, at least that view, because you have at least explored, you know, other than just it is because we say it is, we the church, or because the Bible tells me. So you've at least explored the thought of other possibilities, which I can appreciate. Something that I think, I read it, and then I should have brought it up maybe earlier when we were talking about your church and your belief system, but I think it would be, I wouldn't be doing you all justice, and to make sure you were talking about, and your last comments, it got me thinking that, you know, your church does not practice polygamy, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I just want to, that's out of the middle of nowhere, but something what you were saying, and I was like, okay, it just made me think that we should have brought that up earlier, because that's a stereotype that is out there.
Yeah.
From my understanding, that's because the fundamentalists still do practice.
Right, which is not a part of our church.
Which is not a part of your church. Okay. Just want to make sure that's out there, because I think that's important. If I were a part of your church, I would not want that stereotype upon my people, if you will. I guess we're coming up on an hour here. There's a couple of last things, I guess, individually. If there's anything in particular you'd like to share, I was trying to move through the couple questions that I had down here fairly quick and smoothly. I would definitely love to have this conversation again at some point, but I want to make sure that I've done your time justice here. So if there's anything in particular that I've left out or that you would like to talk about, and we'll just go around the table if that's all right. If I've missed or I should be corrected, or you just want to, you're missionaries and you're here for a purpose. So listen, don't take up another hour each, but here's your opportunity, I guess.
For me, the only thing I can think of is, I know a lot of people wonder what the Book of Mormon is, if it was written like by members of a church, or like what exactly it contains. And so the Bible is prophets and people's record of their experience with Christ. And, you know, you have different books from different people. And we believe that since God has children all over the earth.
Hold on 1 second, please. I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
Good.
Okay. I forgot when I record this way at an hour, it will cut off. And I would just have to, you know, pick it back up.
Okay.
So I just wanted to look at the clock.
We
got plenty of time. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
You are
I just
good.
Didn't want to lose any of that. So, okay, carry on.
So, you know, God has children all over the earth. And we believe that he loves all of them and he's not going to favor one people over another. And so there were people living in the Americas at the same time. And we believe that they had, you know, people called to help teach them about Jesus Christ. And so that's what the Book of Mormon is it's the writings of those people and their experience with God and Jesus Christ and how they were able to come closer to him. And that's why we encourage people to read it so much.
I'm glad you brought that up because I had it right here in my notes, as you can see, and I marked through it because it was part of the other one when I asked you to talk about the Book of Mormon versus the Bible. And it's something that I read in there is that you all believe that Jesus actually, now I don't believe in the physical, correct me if I'm wrong, the physical form, but after he maybe was resurrected, he came back to the Americas.
Yes.
And that's very different than a lot of people's beliefs, right? Because Jerusalem was the Holy Land is a long way from North or South America, right?
Yeah.
And the timing is a little off by a couple hundred years, maybe, right? I mean, like for other people, meaning, okay, you believe that he came here to the Americas, but the Americas weren't discovered until later. That's why you all believe that he came in spirit form?
We believe is, you know, there were, like, for example, before Christopher Columbus came, there were people living here.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been people living here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so after Jesus Christ was resurrected, he said, "Other sheep I have that are not of this fold."
Mm-hmm.
And so we believe that the people in the Americas were some of those other sheep. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, when you're resurrected, your spirit and your body come back together again. And so that's what he did. So he had his body. And he came and he visited. And he ministered to the people in the Americas.
Physically. Oh, really? So you do believe? Okay.
Yeah. And to clarify just what it's talking about, we believe that the people that lived in America were actually, they were a family that lived in Jerusalem 600 years before Christ came. And he was a prophet. His name was Lehi.
Okay.
And he felt that he needed to leave. God gave him revelation to leave. And so he came in a boat and came to America, and it was 600 years before Christ came. And then the people lived there, and during the same time that Christ lived on the earth, when Christ was crucified, then he was resurrected, and he came to visit while those people were living there. So the timelines are similar. It's not like, oh, this was thousands of years ago. It's the same time frame.
Yeah.
And then those people eventually, they all died because they were wicked and didn't do what God asked them to do.
Interesting. Okay. So if I say, this is some of this, you're like, yeah, good. You picked me up. Thank you.
Good job.
I'm not saying I even believe this. This is just for conversation's sake. So those people all died because they were wicked and weren't doing proper things. And if I said, well, I believe, I'm not saying I do, but maybe because people came here from Europe or other places and brought plagues and stuff like that, brought other illnesses that just killed them off, and that was that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but you all are taught that these people died for a specific reason because they weren't believers, or?
Well, God works through natural ways. Like, in the Bible, if people were wicked, they would have a plague, or things like that. So natural things happening doesn't necessarily mean it's not God.
Okay, interesting. Okay, easy enough. Would that, now does that fall in line with, and maybe I'm being a bit extreme, so please, I'm not trying to be argumentative, but I think these are questions. If I was listening to this and listen as I am right now, listen to you, it's questions that come up. Does that fall in line with cancer, for instance? Someone dies early, accounts cancer because they're wicked, or is this, you know what I mean?
So I think, I mean, everyone dies, right?
Right.
The that's not, we don't die because we did something wicked. Mm-hmm. Like, death is just a pathway of life. Mm. And then we go back to God, and only He can really judge us, right? Okay. Judge us based on our hearts. And in the end, we all mess up. We all have times when we're more righteous, per se, or wicked, or just living normally, kind of in between gray areas, right? But that's why Christ came, was so that we could repent. So when we're with God, we have the opportunity again in heaven to repent, and He will judge us based on that. Desire of our hearts to be good, even if we messed up.
You know, you ladies, to be so young, you've definitely, it's obvious you've put in your time in studying your beliefs and educating yourself, because you speak like you know, if I went to church and listened to some, you know, person who's 50, 60 years old, has been studying for a long time their beliefs. So I do admire that. So thank you for making that very clear. Okay, thanks. That's what I wanted to ask you, because I knew there were some things I was missing. There was, and it might just bring up some questions that I know other people will have, and curiosities that I have. So thank you very much. And for you, Sister McMahon, right?
Yes.
Am I allowed to call you sister? Or what do I call you?
Okay. Sister McMahon.
Do you all go, is that how way you go, like in public, you go by your last name?
Sister? While we're on our missions. That's
while you're on your mission.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Something I might add is just, I think one thing I've noticed from our conversation is to recognize that God really has His own timeline. And you brought up how, like, some people can pray and He might say no.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that happen, and I totally believe it's true, because God has his own timeline, and He has His own plan for people. And whether it be when they're, like, 10 and they meet missionaries and feel like it's true, or they're, like, older, or they're, like, 80, I think it all falls into what God's plan is and how we reenact for that. And I think that a lot of things that we do kind of just show how we handle things that happen to us. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect. I appreciate it. And I think that's a common, you know, it's for people who believe, of whichever denomination it is, it's common that it's God's plan, you know. I have someone that I work with who I spoke to him yesterday. To be quick, it's just, it made me think of this, you know, his wife had a miscarriage yesterday. They've got twins. Mm-hmm. They had in vitro, and so this is common to have multiple, right? And they lost one of the babies yesterday, and they handled it. Now, they're strong people of faith, and they handled it so well. And I called them late last night, and I was like, hey, buddy, I just want to let you know that, you know, I'm here for you. If you need anything outside of work, set work aside, I'm here for you, and if you ever need to talk, you know. And his reply was, no, I you know, this is all God's plan. And he just had so much faith, and I currently have a baby on the way. And so I can't imagine, I mean, I hope that I don't have to deal with that, but I can't imagine being as strong as he was. You know, he showed up to work, and he told me just as he got to work, and so I let him do his thing, and then I went and talked to him, and I said, hey, do you need to take the day off, you know, or are you able? Oh, no, I'm fine. And that's what he said, it's all part of God's plan. And so I totally understand what you're saying. Whether I agree or disagree or have a belief that it's God's plan or whatever, I still understand. And I appreciate the fact that other people believe that. What I'd like to go with that is, how do you all, so clearly everyone in the world, and I know you mentioned this earlier, that I believe it was you, that everyone is God's children, if you will, but there's other people that believe different things, and some of them are very extremely different, and they might even have really negative thoughts about you all or us or anything. And how do you all, or how does, not even you all, because that to me is an easier question, but how does your faith and belief deal with people like that? And I just, real quick, I'm just going to hit stop and we'll start over, just because we're going to go over the mark here. Bear with me. All right. And we're back. So what I was just asking was in line with your response, I guess a little. It was just, how do you deal, or how does your, maybe, I understand how peaceful people like you individually might be able to deal with this, but how does your faith and your belief system deal with other people of other beliefs or other religions that may be a little more extreme, right? Mm-hmm. That don't fit under the, there's a bunch of denominations of Christianity, but let's say we all know there's a bunch of other ones out there, and some of them are extreme. Some of them are very peaceful and say, hey, to live and let live, which is kind of the way I try to be, right? But there are some other denominations, even unfortunately, and other religions that say, you don't believe in what I believe in, you're going to hell and you're pointless, you're a waste of flesh, you know. It's true, unfortunately, you know. I would have choice words for those people just as much as anyone else. How does your belief, I guess, deal with those extremes or those other people?
I feel like what it all really comes down to is we follow the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm. We read in the Bible, when Jesus Christ came to the earth, he was rejected and despised, even by his own people. Mm-hmm. But he still loved them. And so it's that very example that we follow.
That's all right. It's okay. Sorry. No worries. You're like, oh. No worries.
Right here.
Did you turn it off?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It's probably Joe Rogan or another podcast. You know, they're already getting wind. The cat is out of the bag now.
Yeah. So we just follow the example of Jesus Christ. And so he loved the people. He was the very Christ. We know that he came to teach the gospel, and he was even rejected, but he still loved the people. And so that's what we strive to do. We strive to love the people and show forth that Christ-like love, because even if they don't agree, even if we don't agree, it's still coming together on a common ground, whatever that might be, or just show forth that love, because that's the most important thing, to love your enemies, to love your neighbor, and that's what Jesus taught.
Yeah. I also think that people have the ability to choose. That's something we believe in as a church, that we all choose what we want to do in this life. And we don't want to force our beliefs on anyone. Our purpose as missionaries is to invite others to come to Christ. And that's what we do. We simply share the message that we have. And the reason we share it is because we know it has blessed our lives and that it's made us so happy and so joyful and has given us a lot of purpose in life. And so we want to share that with others. And if they don't want it, then it's okay. But we're just here to give it to them if they want it.
Cool. With you saying that, is there anything, as we've get around the table to you, anything else that you definitely want to make sure the listeners hear?
Yeah. I was thinking about the logical side of things. I think that a lot of what we believe, religion in general, is faith and trusting that God loves us and that he has a plan for us. And a lot of it is that, but there is so much evidence too. You can see it. And the Book of Mormon is something that you can physically hold and read. And that is proof that God lives and that he loves us. And the point is, you just have to do your research, you know? If you want to figure out if our church is true, then learn about it and pay attention to what you feel and what you learn.
Right.
And it's, you judge people, there's a Bible scripture that I don't actually know, but by their fruits you shall know them is what it says, or I think something like that. And just look at the church, like look at the people, look at what God has helped us to do, and that's where you can judge it based off of.
Cool. You know, I the question I have a lot when I hear this, and again, I wish I could maybe because I'm a bit of a skeptic in general, or, you know, maybe not skeptic isn't the right word, but I question everything. Like, I question, you know, my parents, it drives them nuts still to this day. I question their authority, and I question everything. That's just the way, for whatever reason, that I've been built, that I always want to question everything. And so, you know, when you tell me the Book of Mormon is true, it's a real thing, and it's the evidence, then I think to myself, even though I don't believe in the teachings of the Quran any more than I do or do not of the Book of Mormon, but someone else, I could leave here and go to another podcast and someone would tell me the same thing, that, well, look, it's right here. This book is the real thing. Is the Quran, I guess.
No.
It's here's the proof and the evidence. And so, but that goes back to the way you started, is that it's faith. Ultimately, you're going to do your research and study, and then you're going to determine what you believe in, and then there may or may not be evidence for that. Mm-hmm. Cool. I just that's the thing that, like, I guess what I would say is, what do you tell someone if maybe it comes off this way in this podcast? It'll be interesting to go back and hear. Maybe it sounds like a man desperately looking for something to believe in, which I think a lot of people wish I that was the case. It's not the case. But how would you know? I guess this just comes down to, like you were saying, faith is like, if I'm trying to find something, how do I distinguish between one said book that tells me so, and another book that tells me so, and another book, and this religion and that religion, yeah. And everyone at the end of the day says, no, but ours is right, you know. Right. But earlier you mentioned that you don't necessarily. I mean, it's up to people. It's here if they want it, mm-hmm. and you believe that yours is the way, but you're open to the idea that other people have other beliefs.
Yeah, and that's why it all comes back to prayer, is because people are going to tell you all day long that they're right. Mm. Everyone's going to tell you all day long that they're right. But what matters is what God says. And so that's why after any time we teach anybody or anything, we always invite them to pray, because that's what really matters.
Cool.
I think that leads into kind of my last thing I want to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
Is just that I think all four of us here have personal testimonies, and that's why we've made this commitment, because we've studied the Bible, we've studied the Book of Mormon, we've learned about religion and studied the how we felt and what we want to believe and what other people want us to believe, and in the end we prayed, and we want to invite you and everyone else who listens to this to study for themselves and to pray about it. Scripture in the Book of Mormon, at the very end, it just says, and I would exhort you, or encourage, after you read these things, that you should pray. And that just leads it down to God's plan for you. Because in the end, that's the plan you want to follow.
Cool. Well, I appreciate the invitation, whether I do or do not take you up on that, but I appreciate the invitation. I think with that, it's a good point for us to close. I think, where can everybody go? Now you can Google stuff, but on your card that you gave me, I think it was, is it comeuntochrist.org?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so comeuntochrist.org is where people can go, and from there they can find a church close to them, or I know that it says there that someone will hand deliver the Book of Mormon, I believe. So anything else that I'm missing as far as people should know or where to find, other than the website? How to get information.
The official, so that is a website, and then the official church website is the church, or it's churchofjesuschrist.org is the big website, I guess, as mm-hmm. well to go with
come to Christ.
Both yeah. of them are great.
Well, thank you all so much. I appreciate it. I was really excited about this one. I think it went well. So thank you so much for your time. Yes,
thank you.
I wish you all the best of luck, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Turn this thing off.